Am I the only one that hears that? Or, like, okay, I thought maybe I had hearing aids that I didn't know, and they were buzzing. And so we've started this sermon series where Jesus is in the upper room, and he has really done some radical things for the disciples. He's washed their feet. Unheard of. That is ridiculous. And then has taught them some things that have just really stretched their processing, their beliefs, and the way they saw things happening, and then they've started on this journey. So I've entitled this message, this sermon series, The Closing Arguments of Blessing, because when we read these words that he shares with the disciples, it's real quick, we can kind of hear it and think, oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. And we think of all the way this faith works and not realize what he is actually saying, the blessings that we receive, what is actually happening, and to receive this and what it means to live this out. And I'm sure as soon as I put this title up, the hatred towards Jesus and the followers, our cognitive bias will automatically go towards what we think that hatred is. Maybe our hatred is, if it's like me, that they spring forward an hour and take away an hour of sleep. And I hear that they're talking about passing that, you know, that we won't fall back, but I was kind of counting on in the fall to gain that hour back that they took from me of sleep. But when we think of hatred, right, in the world, we think we have this concept of how it looks for Jesus and the followers. And maybe not totally wrong, but I think that what happened is that then we miss Jesus' actual teachings here in the scripture that we're about ready to read. And instead of just turning right to it, I do want us to kind of look at, there is a scripture right in the middle that I found fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. Well, that's an interesting statement, that you wouldn't abandon your faith. I've told you these things. Well, exactly what is he trying to say here? Well, in the ESV, English Standard, it says, I have said all these things to keep you from falling away. Abandon your faith, falling away. Well, NIV kind of follows along and says, yeah, all of this I have told you so that you will not fall away. Abandon faith, falling away. New American Standard Bible puts it this way. These things I have spoken to you so that you will not be led into sin. Jesus is telling the disciples and us, the things that he's sharing, I'm telling you so that you won't abandon your faith, fall away, or even sin. What's actually going on here? And then in the King James it says, so that you wouldn't be offended. So when these things happen, you don't fall away from your faith, abandon your faith, fall away. So abandon faith, fall away, sin, or be offended. What is the word that is actually being used here? This Greek word, skandalizo, means this: to put a snare in the way, to cause or to stumble, or to give offense. And the usage it would be to, like, I'm saying this so that you do not stumble. I'm saying this so that you do not sin. I'm saying this so that you will not become indignant, right? Shocked or offended. I'm telling you these things so that you're not like, what is going on here? So, what is Jesus saying? Well, let's turn to John 15, 18 through 16, verse 4. And as we're turning to that, I do want to say that the questions are out on the by the offering for follow-up, and also the YouVersion. If you haven't noticed, the YouVersion app has the PowerPoint and actually has a link to a story that I will tell later, because I didn't want any copyright issues and shut down our live stream. So I'm telling the story, but if you want to actually hear it again and make sure I said everything right, the link is in that. So as we're turning to this, what we want to remember that Jesus said, I've told you these things, right? And we're getting ready to read the rest of it, but I want to reflect on what we talked about last week, and that is, he talked about meno or minnow, right? Depends on which Greek website you go to. I like Menno because I think we'll change our name to Mennonites this way, meaning that we remain, we abide, we continue to be present in God's presence. And he gave the two illustrations then of the vine, the true vine, and the branches, and the friendship. And he said, I'm telling you these things, remain in my love, right? Remain in my love as a branch remains to the vine, right? For source of life and love. And as a friendship, remain in my love as a friend, and that love will flow through. So here we have this love, and then I've just titled the sermon, The Hatred Towards Jesus. So we have this stark contrast between love and hatred. And I want to be clear, as I've always said to you guys, I don't think we fully grasp God's love for us. I don't think we'll ever fully understand that while we walk this earth. But in the same breath, I would say, I don't think you fully understand the hatred that Satan in the world has towards Jesus and the followers. And to what levels they will go to deceive, to destroy. So, John 15. Verse 18. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. Jesus is saying this. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me. For they have rejected the one who sent me. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them. But now they have no excuse for their sins. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without cause. But I will send you an advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me, because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. Chapter 6, verse 1. I have told you all these things so you won't abandon your faith, stumble, fall away, sin. For you will be expelled from the synagogues, and the time is coming when those who kill you will think they are doing a holy service for God. This is because they have never known the Father or me. Yes, I'm telling you these things now so that when they happen, you will remember my warnings. I didn't tell you earlier because I was going to be with you for a while longer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one that has come here who is in the present, whether through live stream or here in person. Lord, right now, though, as we look to your word, and we look to the deception of Satan and the persecution of the church, I pray that we would allow our hearts and minds to be open to what your word says. And as always, Lord, as we receive that word, I pray that we would allow it to continue to transform our thoughts. As we receive your word, may it transform our thoughts in the way we see this world, that we would see it as you do. And as we receive it in our heart, that it would change our attitude, that we would have a heart of gratitude, of thankfulness. And as always, Lord, I pray that the words that would come from me would fall on deaf ears and fall to the floor. I pray that as we leave here, we will understand really what we are up against, and that this is a spiritual warfare that we have allowed to go unchecked. And may we decide to step forward and truly put on the full armor of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, in this you can see that hatred comes from two places, actually. The world, right? So how do we want to define the world? Because actually the world is described in several ways, even just in the Gospel of John alone. First, we see in the beginning, God created, right, the world, the creation. So that it'd be one term that we would use for the world. And then we have the world of humanity, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But the world we're talking about here that hates, to give you a mind of what it'd be like, think about when you're listening to the radio and the news is on and they say, and then sports comes on and they say, now to the world of baseball. Well, baseball is not a nation unto itself, but it's a group of people that have teams and a game and blah, blah, blah. When we think about the world and the world that is against God, against Jesus, against the church, we think of those that have set their point of view, their philosophies, their organizations, their plans, their activities, and yes, their values against God. When we think about the persecution, we could obviously go to, well, look at the Muslim nations. And if you want some videos on what really is happening in some of these countries, I would challenge you to go to YouTube. I've said this before. Go to YouTube and look up Sheep Among Wolves. And if you can't find it, email me. I'll send the link. But I tell you, when you watch it, you're going to hear about people who are sold out for Jesus. And they're experiencing true persecution of death. And then we have those that are holy service of God. And we could say, well, we remember Apostle Paul confessing to that he pursued the church and were putting them to death and arresting them. And since we're not really experiencing that, that could be the end of the sermon. Amen, and let's go home. But really, this also a statement he says. This fulfills what is written in the scripture, they hated me without cause. Brothers and sisters, I think that the problem is that if I were to ask most of you, you have a choice, deny Christ and you live, or acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior and die. Most of us have the decision that we probably would say, we would die. But let me ask you, how do you live that out? Do you live in that context of that you have died to yourself? Because they hated me without cause. See, he said, they saw the miracles. They heard the words of my authority, my teaching, and yet they still rejected it. Many of us believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We see the miracles in the Bibles. We've even heard things, but yet we go about our lives living it as if he is not Lord of our lives. The persecution I believe that we face today is deadlier than the persecution of the threat of death or prison. I believe the persecution that the church is experiencing today from the world is called materialism, and from the religious side, consumerism. And it is killing the church. You read the editorial pages in any of the newspapers, and they rejoice at the fact of the numbers of people that attend church is continually declining in America. The persecution is real. It's subtle, and we have bought into it. If you don't believe me, let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. When we turn to 1 John chapter 2, the last time we were talking about the new command I give you is to love one another. But now we're going to talk about the other side. In verse 15, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers you only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and a pride in our achievement and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. I remember in my college economics class, my professor telling us that there was a dictator who was trying to eliminate Christianity, and Russia is one of them. And the dictator was putting them in jail and trying to do everything, and Christianity kept growing, as we see if you look now. Look, read all about it. Churches are growing where there's this kind of persecution. So the next dictator came in, and this is what my professor told me and told us, and I'm still trying to find it. But the next one came in and said, I know how I'm going to eliminate it, and he gave them all farms, and the church almost died. Now, I can't prove that story to you, but I can tell you this. The guy that wrote The Grapes of Wrath, John Steinbeck, was recorded in Washington Post in January 28, 1960, from a letter he wrote that said, if I wanted to destroy a nation, I would give it too much, and I would have it on its knees, miserable and greedy and sick. We must be careful, because we find ourselves saying, well, we don't conform to the world any longer. We don't act like it, and we do services, but remember, we need to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to transform our thoughts and how we view things. We can look good and still have worldly thoughts and attitudes and actions. What do we crave after? We crave for the physical pleasures. We say, oh, no, we're not like the world. We don't lust in that way. But yet, what do we crave when we say, but you can't take me out of my comfort zone. You can't change these things. You can't do that. Because that's mine. That's the way I think it should be. And everything we see, as soon as we think somebody else has got something above us or got something, we're like after it. And we know we got to have that too. And what about the pride in our achievements and possessions? The things that if I were to say, I'm taking that from you, you would revolt. We hold tightly to it. Oh no, we're not like the world, and yet we act like the world. Why do you think? We don't really need to suffer death persecution. Materialism and consumerism is doing a fantastic job in destroying our spiritual faith, and we are in a spiritual war. These are the same temptations that Eve was tempted with and failed. It's the same temptations Jesus was tempted with. And that's why he was able to die on the cross for us. The contrast between the world and what we should be living out because of the Holy Spirit is self-control, a spirit of generosity, and a commitment to humble service. A spirit of humility should be what is seen. What do you value that is most important to you? That if somebody said, that has to change, you would find yourself no, and you realize, really, you're a part of the materialism or you're part of consumerism. Do your actions reflect the world's values or God's values? And here's a sentence that Jesus said, I'm telling you these things so that you don't fall, that I find just haunting. The time is coming when those who kill you will think they are doing a holy service for God. Automatically, we would say, yeah, we're talking about death, but yet throughout scriptures, Proverbs says that words can bring life or death. And the scripture we're going to turn to, we're going to see how the church was actually killing one another through words. I see this actually happening all over social media. Gotcha! Boy, look how they blew it. I'm so much superior now. Look at how they messed up. I know. Look at that author, that speaker. I'm going to tell you, why would you post their quote when they're so blah, 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 blah? Look how much more superior. Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. We're killing with our words, constantly going after. Or we actually believe that we are superior and that people should just learn from us. I've actually had people come to me and tell me that. You just need to learn from me. You're right, brothers and sisters. We should humbly submit to one another, learning from one another. But if we have the idea that you just need to learn from me, I've got it all figured out. The other one, anonymous. What is anonymous but nothing but a cloak and darkness? And it's a way of being superior because I can tell you, but there's no interaction. We love the Word of God except for when it actually calls for us to get in out of our comfort zone and actually be part of it. Because what does Jesus tell us? If there's a difficulty, go talk to your brother. And we're killing each other because we bought into this materialism and consumerism, and it's about us instead of about Jesus. We can point out the wrong so quickly. One CEO was listening to his manager's talk, and they were going on and on and on about all this is wrong and that's wrong and blah, blah, blah. Finally, he said, you know what, guys, we've really worked hard. And he had a very luxurious house. Awesome place. And he said, you know what, we're going to have a party at my house tonight. But here's the deal. You get to choose between one, I'm getting ready to give you directions to my house, and you get to choose between which one. The first one is, I will tell you some of the streets that my house is not on. I'll tell you parts of the town I do not live in. And I will tell you the colors of my house that it is not. Or, I will tell you the part of town I live in, the street I live on, and the color of my house. Which do you want? Too many times we're going about, this is wrong, that's wrong, this blah, 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 blah. And we're not focusing on what is right. What is going on? What is God doing? Glenn and I visited some dear friends of ours. Loved them. But from the time we sat down, what we heard was this and that about the church. Oh, this was wrong, that was wrong, this, and blah, 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 blah. But they were so proud of their church, they wanted to show us their church. And I'm just like, wow, what? And then as we're walking around, I'm like, oh, that's a cool building. What's that? And they're like, oh, so yeah, we have a person in our church that realized that this area really loves coffee. And so they started this coffee house. And what it does is all the proceeds that they make, all the profits, and pretty much a lot of things are donated, they send that into, they're now working with missions from prison ministries and the homeless, and they're actually employing the people as they're trying to help transition them out of this to help them into a better, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is where we should have started the conversation. And how many times are we like that? Oh, yeah, well, church, huh. You say, how can you actually say the words are killing? Well, I won't. James will. I have a love-hate relationship with the book of James. I hope probably you do too. Let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 1. What is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You think they're all drawing knives and stabbing each other, or is it words? It's words. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. And you want only what will give you pleasure. You see the seriousness of this materialistic consumer mentality? Verse 4, you adulterers. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. What do you think the scripture means when they say that the Spirit of God was placed within us is filled with envy? But he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud but favors the humble. Verse 7, so humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. What's the problem here? It's because they want possessions. What's the problem here? It's because they wanted more money. They wanted high status, and they wanted recognition. They wanted things to make their lives easy and it be recognized. I think too many times what happens is when we read and hear the story of the prodigal son, we think, oh, I've been the son, the prodigal son. Or I'm the father waiting for that long-lost one. When in fact, if we're honest, we're probably the brother who says, I have been here all the time working with you. Why does he get that? And I have been miserable. Or the vineyard workers. I've been working here since 8 a.m. You came and got me, and then you come and get that guy. He only worked for a little bit, and he gets the same wage? Because we are obsessed with the world and materialism, consumerism. And we find ourselves not humble before God. Let me ask you, what is your prayer life like? Do you ask for selfish desires? I mean, I'll be honest, when I pray for my children, sometimes I'm praying for great opportunities for them, when the first thing that I try to pray for is that they would grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you talk to God at all? And when you do, what do you talk about? Is it a laundry list of your needs and desires, and then you move on? Or do you ask for what is God's will in your life? What is he doing to open your eyes to understand, to continue to transform our hearts, that we would then become humble before him? Do you realize that the only reason you get to go to the throne is because of the blood of Jesus Christ? It's not a thing you have done, not a thing I have done. Our prayers can become powerful when we allow God to change our desires so that it's perfectly in line with his will. But unfortunately, we use religion as a weapon against each other. And unfortunately, we have turned church into what Dallas Willard says in his book, The Great Omission. We have generated a body of believers who consume Christian services and think that that is Christian faith. Consumption of a Christian service replaces obedience to Christ, and spirituality is just one more thing to consume. Since we've been here at church, we're Christians, and we just go on, and that's fine, right? When this is not a consumption, this is worship here, and this worship should continue out with a humble heart. Many think that you can become a Christian and not be a disciple. Many think it's okay to be a Christian and not really be a follower of Jesus Christ, because to be a follower of Jesus Christ means that we die to ourselves and we are humble before him and allow him to lift us up. The video that I talked about, the link, the pastor shares that he has been training, and I've shared this before, where he had gone to China. He continually goes to China, but this one particular story, when he was in the Hunan province, 22 church leaders came to the little hotel apartment that they had rented. The people had traveled 13 hours on a train to get to this church. They would have to stagger their times coming up the elevator two by two as not to raise suspicion of what's going on. They sat on hardwood floors in the middle of summer with no air conditioning. And there these 22 leaders sat. And he asked them, he said, you know, just out of curiosity, what would happen if we got caught? And they said, for you, within 24 hours, you'd be deported. For us, 3 years in jail immediately. He said, well, how many of you have been in jail? 20 of the 22 raised their hands. Well, he only had 15 Bibles that he could get in. So he passed out the 15 Bibles, and with 22 people, 7 people were without. One lady had the Bible, and he said, now turn with us to 2 Peter. And the lady just looked at him and just handed the Bible to the gentleman beside her. He thought that was odd. But then he realized when he was reading it, she was reciting it. So at break, he walked up to her and he said, I saw you handed the Bible. And she says, yes, I knew the passage by heart. And he goes, how did you do that? When did you learn 2 Peter like that? She goes, oh, well, I was in prison. You have a lot of time. And he said, but then they confiscate your Bible? She goes, yes, and you try to learn it very quickly. And when they took the Bible, then I'd had friends that would bring me pieces of paper with verses, and I would memorize those verses. And he said, wouldn't they take that? And she said, oh, yes, very quickly. They can take the paper, but they can't take what was hidden in my heart. After 3 days, he said, you couldn't help but fall in love with these people. And he said, what can I pray for you guys? And they said, oh, could you pray, because you're going back to America, you guys can meet anytime you want, you can openly worship, can you pray that someday we have that too? And he looked at them with downcast face and he said, I will not do that. And they looked back, why? He said, because here, you were to train for 13 hours. In America, if you have to drive over an hour, people probably won't come. You sat on hardwood floors for 3 days. People, if they have to sit through 40 minutes of a sermon, I'm looking to make sure I'm under my time, people will leave. I'm not looking to test it with you guys. You sat here for 3 days on a hardwood floor without air conditioning. If we don't have comfortable seats and air conditioning, we probably will not return. In our country, in America, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family, and we hardly ever read them, much less memorize. Here, you hardly have any Bibles, and you memorize from pieces of paper. I will not pray that you guys become like us. What I will pray is that we become like you. You see, at the end of that verse I read in James 4:17, he says this, remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Brothers and sisters, we can do acts of service and we can behave morally good, but if we know what we ought to do, live a humble life before Christ, we need to continue to allow our thoughts to be transformed and realize the blessing that is coming because of the cross as we look forward to remembering that Friday that he was crucified and celebrate the empty tomb. And that blessing is that we get to identify. Our identity is in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Does our lives reflect that fact, or do they still see us actually living an old life? And we do not belong to the world, brothers and sisters. In Colossians 2:6-7, it says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. You want a good measuring for whether you are consumed with materialism and consumerism, or if you are being faithful to God? Does that last 3 words, 4 words describe you? Will overflow with thankfulness? Do you overflow with thankfulness? Or do people hear your criticism? You're probably thinking, well, you missed the key part and we're coming to the end. You know, the Holy Spirit, you're right. But I will send the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, and he will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. Jesus has repeatedly talked about this Holy Spirit coming. And next week, we will talk about the works of the Holy Spirit. But usually I have questions to follow, to reflect on. I actually have this challenge before you. Wednesday night, I'm calling for a time of prayer for revival. As I said, I believe that revival can come to Mercersburg Mennonite Church, but we will have to first be willing to repent of our rebellious, prideful, arrogant, materialistic, and consuming hearts. And I say this, I hope you understand that I say this in love and to myself. So I'm calling for a time that for those who would like to be here on Wednesday, we're going to have Jonathan's going to be leading us in some songs, and I'm going to be leading us in a time of prayer. And here's my prayer, actually. I roughly figured out that we have roughly about 240 to 250 people that claim Mercersburg Mennonite as their home church that come here on a regular basis. I know that you're looking around saying, where are they at? We all don't come on the same Sunday. If you want to see, I can show you. I'll take pictures. But if we have 250 people that claim Mercersburg Mennonite as their home church or as the church that they attend, then can we get 25 people, 10%, that will come here, confess their sins, and intercede on the behalf of the church? That's all I'm asking. Can we stop talking and playing around and exchanging ideas and actually just start praying? I'm asking for some people to join me on Wednesday night. I'm asking for 10%. I'm asking, let's stop pretending and let's actually understand what the blessing is that we're receiving, that we have received, that the world can see. Worship team, come forward as we're closing. I want to pray here, and I want you guys to understand my heart. I truly love pastoring. And everything I've said is out of love and out of, come on up, I'll come down. I'll move myself out of your way. But you know, I've always said this, I'm not about to play church. I hate playing. I used to do that as a little kid. At Thanksgiving at my aunt's place, she had a great little place that could be a pulpit. And I used to pretend like I was a pastor. Can you believe it? I never wanted to be a pastor, but I pretended it because we always like to play, right? Brothers and sisters, can we stop playing? Can we start getting serious? Can we start praying and let God work? I still remember when Steve Shank was here and he talked about that pastor from another nation that was talking to the American pastors, and they were like, what's your secret? And he said, we pray and obey. No, what do? We pray and obey. No, what is your game plan? We pray and obey. As tears were running down his cheek, because he said, you guys aren't getting it. Brothers, sisters, can we just start praying and obeying and living out the blessings that we're receiving and that the world can see, that we're remaining in Him and that love flows through us? Let's stand.
children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you in the morning, in the evening, and you're coming and you're going and you're weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 He is for you.
Here in prayer, but I do want to say that I have several people that are going to be up here if you want to come forward and just talk and just help, let us walk with you in prayer. Let's just not just go through the motions. Let's close in prayer though. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we thank you for your Son Jesus. Lord, as we now, with our eyes fixed on the cross and the empty tomb, Lord, we see the full display of your love because the blood shed and the tomb is empty. And Jesus sits at the right hand interceding on our behalf. Lord, we also thank you for the Holy Spirit that we have received that we might go forth in boldness. But let us go forth also in the power of the Holy Spirit with compassion and love. Lord, may we be, our desire be to humbly serve those around us, to show your love that we have received to those around, that we would wash their feet, being willing to be a part of some, probably the most, hearing some of the most disgusting things and say, but you know what? I love you, but even more importantly, there's somebody who loves you even greater, and share that truth with them. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone within the sound of my voice that has not received your Son and their heart is stirring right now, I pray they would come forward and talk with me and give me the opportunity to walk with them. There's nothing like anything this earth can offer to being in a right relationship with you through Jesus Christ because of the sins forgiven when we confess our sins to him and accept what Christ has done for us and we become a new creation. And I pray that everyone here would also acknowledge and be willing to put to death when materialism and consumerism starts creeping into our lives and say, no, I will humbly serve my Lord because what I receive from him is greater than anything this world could offer. And I pray that we would go forth, that the world would see your love and see the light of your truth through our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Brothers and sisters, as always, thank you for your time and attention. Go in the love and peace of Jesus Christ. You are dismissed.